Is it good to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. All right. So praise the Lord. It's awesome. God is in this place. Do we have anybody visiting us for the very first time? Anybody with us for the very first time? Okay. We don't have. Okay. So today, if you know, today is the Mother's Day. So if you are a mother, we would request you just to stand to your feet. Just stand up. All the moms only, not the dads. All the moms. Just want to give them a big hand. Okay? And as a token of our appreciation for moms, we want to give a little something for you. Stay standing till you get that. Kids are doing it as if they are distributing sweets or something. So this is good. Yeah, let's give them a big hand. Amazing. Did you get your... Okay, there is... anybody who needs to get that? Please stay standing till you get yours. Okay, others can be seated. If you got yours, you can be seated. Cassandra, your mom, give it her. She's standing there. Okay, so that's good, and we have all. Okay, so thank you, moms. You may be seated. Yeah, let's think of them. Let's pray for them. And if your moms are not here today or they're out of station somewhere, if they've not gone home to be with the Lord, give them a call and tell them that you love them, okay? All right, okay, so... It's great to be together, isn't it, in the house of the Lord. All right, so our first speaker for this morning is Mr. Saravana. He decided not to go back after the Wednesday service. So he said maybe he'll stay back for a few more days. And we enjoyed his portion on Wednesday, didn't we? Mercy rejoices over judgment. And so he'll be sharing a portion with us, so let's welcome him. You leave today? We leave tomorrow. Okay, so Pastor Guru and Saravana, they leave tomorrow back to their respective places. So keep them in prayer.
Check. Let's turn our Bible to Book of Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 27. Book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and I see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Precious Father, thank you so much, God, for standing in our midst with your arms wide open to comfort, to love us, to build us up, to refresh, to quicken us. Lord, we acknowledge you by faith, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So beautiful to be here with you. It's a body of Christ. It's so amazing. And we are excited. And how about saying to the next person that you are precious? You are precious. Don't think that he is my enemy. Okay, still you can say that you are. It's not that true that we are precious before God's eyes. We are so, so precious that God has not purchased us with the gold or silver, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Because we are precious, so he has to spend the precious blood to purchase us. That shows that how much precious we are, right? So beautiful, so that we are precious, beautiful, I'm so glad that as a family we are here. Wow. So Apostle Paul says that here, one spirit, one mind. And we see that down the line, he says, one love, because we are baptized into one body. Meaning Apostle Paul talks that one spirit, one mind, one heart, one love. Meaning this is not talks about this mind that I have. It's not saying about what I think about the body of Christ. It's about what God thinks about the body of Christ. Meaning I have that mind. And it is about the spirit, that it's not that how, whether I'm quickened in the spirit or not. But it talks about Ephesians 1, chapter 2, verse 2, that we are quickened, meaning the Holy Spirit, quickened our human spirit, and we are alive now. And it talks about the one love, that it is not that whether I'm motivated to love another person or not, it's about God's unconditional love toward me. And one heart, we are given a new heart. When we believed in Christ, Ezekiel 36:26, Apostle Paul talking about those things, that as we come to church with one spirit, one mind, one love, baptized into one body. Amazing. We are baptized into one body, the body of Christ. We are members in particular in the precious body of Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we heard in the communion, that His body was broken so that we would be baptized into His body. So we are in His body. So, in the verse that we read, Apostle Paul says that striving together, okay? So, don't look at me that striving. How come this guy entered into works program now? Striving, okay? It is not that striving. Okay, so the striving, there's a Greek word, beautiful Greek word, that soon athleo, soon athleo, when we break the Greek word, this is what it goes. Soon athleo means to contend along with a person, to contend along with a person, not contending with a person. Contend, meaning we come together along with a person, not the person who is sitting next to us. The person is nothing but the kingdom of darkness. So as a body, we come together to contend along with a person. That's what Apostle Paul placing there. Striving, meaning we come together. We come together. Apostle Paul says, striving together for the, what's the purpose? Together for the faith of the gospel. Meaning as a church, we come together so that this gospel would go forward and move. As we are coming together and we are moving, and the gospel of Christ is moving forward, and the word of God is multiplied in the people's hearts, and the word of God is growing in the people's hearts. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. Come together. Let's strive together so that the gospel would be preached and moves forward into all over the world. That's what God's desire, right? Jesus Christ placed here in the Bible 5 times, go and preach this gospel. Meaning, that's why God has placed this body here on this earth, so that this faith of the gospel would go forward. So that's what Apostle Paul mentioned here. Meaning, we are not called to strive in the first place. We are not called to strive for anything. Means, we are not called for salvation, we are not called to strive for our salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. We are not striving in any means. It is, I'm receiving what God has given to us. No strive. Even in sanctification, no strive. Why? Because God's work in us. God is working in us. It is His work again. It is not my work. So there is no striving in that aspect. And we also not striving for the Holy Spirit to come. We are not striving Holy Spirit, come. No, 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 no. The Bible says clearly, Ephesians 1:13 and 14, the moment we heard the gospel of Christ and we received it by faith, the Holy Spirit is already in you and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus Christ promised already when he was alive, he said that when I go to my Father, I will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come into you when they believe in Christ. So we are not striving for the Holy Spirit to come. Rather, we are called to celebrate for the person who is living in us, made abode in us. So we are not striving in any case. Apostle Paul clearly says that if it is works, it is no longer grace. If it is grace, if it is no longer works. So he made a clear statement that we are not called to strive as an individual, as a body of Christ. Okay, but same Apostle Paul says, we are called to strive together, many come together to contend with the one who is against us, who is that against us, not, as I said, not the person who is sitting next to us, it is the one, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 1, 2 and 3. He is the kingdom of darkness and we are called to contend. Okay, so not contending with the person, we are come together and we are moving forward. So, in closing, in Jude verse 3, Jude says, as an individual, I am called to strive. What is it? I am called to make sure in my race, as an individual, I'm walking with God, I'm running with God, I have something going on, and I'm called to move forward with God. Jude says, strive. What he is telling that, make sure nobody is going to hinder your race, nobody going to cut in to stop your race. So there Jude says, you are called to strive to make sure that nobody is going to come in, because we are running the race with God so that the faith of the gospel would be preached, that would move forward. So as an individual, it's my responsibility to strive in a sense to make sure nothing going to hinder my walk with God. It's my responsibility. Then as we practice that, I'm not going to entertain anything in my life which can hinder my walk with God, I come to church. I come to church as a body, as an individual, and we together collectively making sure that we have a purpose and plan for the church. There is a purpose and plan for the church. What is it? We are getting discipled, we have Bible school, we have prayer meeting, and something going on, right? There is greater things going on. There is something we are moving forward to. We are moving forward to something. So there's a purpose and plan as a church. So collectively, as we come together, Apostle Paul says, make sure nothing going to come in our walk with God, because as we come together, strive to guard the unity, strive to have one mind, strive in any way so that enemy would not plant any seed in this body. So Apostle Paul says, in that sense, let's come collectively so that the faith of the gospel would go forward. It's beautiful to see. Yesterday people are out and preaching gospel. It's so beautiful to see the diversity in the body, and got to see, I was so blessed by the body, and you are so precious. Everyone is so precious. Then that's why Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians 7:20, abide in which where you are called. Many Apostle Paul says, stay where you are, because you are placed by God. I didn't place myself in the body. God places me in the body according to however he wills. So it's his will that I'm here. So we are not called to contend with anybody. We are called to bless another person and guarding the unity with one mind, one spirit, one love, and baptized one body, and we are moving forward, and the gospel is preached as a result, and the kingdom of God is extended because of the unity in the body. I'm so thankful to see the unity in the body. I'm so thankful to see the precious people. They are there, ready to build another up and ready to refresh one another. You are so precious, okay? So you are the result of me standing here and talking. You know that? You, collectively, sitting here, you are the result of me standing here. And you are the result of missionaries gone out into different parts of India. And ready, we are going to see, this is the news from different world, that from here, missionaries are going to go out. So that's what we are going to see. We are going to say, let's prepare for the great news, and great things are happening, going on. Let's strive together, not for anything, but so that the gospel would be preached, the gospel would go forward. That's what Apostle Paul says, that my suffering resulting in the furtherance of the gospel. What is he saying? He is not entertaining any thoughts in his walk with God. He is making sure that, my dear children, there is nothing in my mind hindering my walk. Even though I'm in the prison, that suffering results in the furtherance of the gospel. Thank God. He says, thank God. And he is encouraging the church of Philippians that let's come together. Let's make sure that we are moving forward. We are not called to contend with another person. Rather, we come along to contend with the one who is invisible. Invisible in the prince of the power of the air in the kingdom of darkness. Amen. So let's move on. We have a purpose. We are with hope. We are with life. We are with everything that God is, because we have God on our side. We have God on our side. Nobody can come against us. So let's guard the unity. Let's move forward. You are precious. We are precious. We are in this body. Amen. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you so much, God. The precious place that you have given us, God, in this body. Lord, thank you so much, God, for the purpose that you have given us, Lord, as a body of Christ, to be the salt of the earth, light of the world. Lord, we thank you so much for the light that you have placed in us, Lord, so that we can shine as a light in the dark world, as we are living in the midst of perverse generation, nation. Father, we thank you so much, God. Thank you, Lord, for the light that it is in this church, in this body, the precious people, Lord, those who are walking with you. Lord, we thank you. Worship you, God, praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Okay. So, happy Mother's Day for the mothers one more time. Great worship and awesome communion thoughts and encouraging introduction, right? So it's good to be here this morning. And I wanted to speak on mothers, so being Mother's Day and how they are important in the kingdom of God, and how God sees them, right? So the labor that they go through, and the pains and sufferings and the joy, prayers that are involved, as we heard in the introduction, for the kingdom of God to go further, right? So it's great. Yesterday, I was looking at the computer about how do I kill a person, right? Seriously. I wanted to kill somebody. And we have everything, right? And so to make the bomb, everything, internet, right? If anything goes wrong, it's not my computer and Pastor Anil's computer. the men invent in those days to give a blow, like as you are contending with another guy, you need to give a blow where the final blow results in death, right? So before we enter into that, I would like to pray. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful body and a lot of joy on their faces and the labor, years of labor and prayers. And thank you so much for each and every single one, their portion and their fellowship, their ministry. God, very important people to you, and you are using us as a pivotal force, Lord, not just for Bangalore, for all through India, God. And thank you so much for the leaders here, God. As we open up your word, we want you to bless, and we want you to take your word and speak to our hearts, and instruct us, deliver us, God. Encourage us, edify us, Lord. Give us a promise. Say you are here and you are with us, God, in Christ's name. Amen. Russia invented a martial art called Sambo, S-A-M-B-O. This is without weapon. They taught this to the Red Army, and they taught to the government officials, right? So as you are in this, the final blow, I was looking at how the final blow is, like, no, it goes on the neck and the person dies, that's it. And that was famous for quite some time. And then there is another one, M-U-A-Y-T-H-A-I, Muay Thai. The Burmese invented this. So a partial use of weapons. And though Burmese invented, this act is mainly practiced in Thailand. And it is practiced till today. It is one of the awesome way of killing people. And as a sport. So they take this, and the final blow is death. And then you have from the States of America, MC MAP. It is Marine Corps Martial Arts Program. That is also practiced. And I don't know how do you pronounce this, the fourth one, S-I-L-A-T. It is practiced by Malaysia. So as you are doing that, like, no, one blow, finally, the opponent is gone. And then you have Eskrima, E-S-K-R-I-M-A, invented by the Philippines. And they also do this. And finally, you have Krav Maga. Right? It's not that Kannada Maga, right? K-R-A-V-E-V-M-A-G-A. This is like even more interesting. The Israelites, the Jews, right? They have tremendous wisdom. They invented it. So all these six things are with or without weapons. The only goal that you have, the only aim that you have, the focus, the concentration is that the opponent must be put to death. So we a little bit spoke about the death, right? You know how God works? The life, the thought, and the energy, the word, the plan, the purpose of God is not limited by the boundaries of death. God works out of death in resurrection realm. What the man could do, look at the enemy, and I want to put this guy to death. God is not thinking like that. God is thinking beyond death, which man cannot conceive. Even the fallen angel, Lucifer, cannot think. Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. We will see how a mother plays a crucial role in the kingdom of God. Exodus chapter 1 verse 13. This is a dynamic book, right? It's a most powerful book. A dramatic book, book of salvation, book of deliverance, book of covenant. What else can you think? the book of Tabernacle, right? The presence of God with his people, the book of sacrifices, and the book of Moses, the book of murmurings or whatever it is, the book of golden calf. And we know the context in chapter 1, the enemy is planning. You think of these six things that the nations invented to put the enemy to death. What is running in the mind of enemy? What is running in the mind of Satan? In Exodus chapter 1, verse 13, the Egyptians compel the sons of Israel to labor rigorously. And they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks, at all kinds of labor in the field, and all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them. This is the first move of the enemy. What kind of a move is this? The enemy does not want you to get out of the identity of slavery. He just works, puts the labor upon labor upon labor upon labor upon labor on you. To an extent, you are convinced and you started believing that I am a slave. That is the first blow. And the second one is in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. The second is bringing death to frustrate the plan of God. Bringing death to frustrate the purpose of God. So he had two things in his mind, maybe more than that behind the scenes, we don't know. The first one is reduce the population because they are growing in Egypt, right? They can't be controlled. And how do we frustrate the plan and purpose of God, God's people? The place of death. Throw the male child into the river. The child must die. And the second one is reducing the population. The second one is that, no, so make sure that they are completely identifying themselves as slave. That they can't think freedom. They cannot think liberty. And it is the cruel scheme of the enemy. This was the power of Satan. The river was the place of death. So the nation of Israel, the people of God, told that you must cast your male child into the river. It is by death the enemy seeks to frustrate the plan of God and purpose of God. That's the best that he could think of. Nothing beyond that. This has been the case ever since with Adam and Eve, when he came into the Garden of Eden, right? The wages of sin is death. The serpent with the malignant eye, he keeps on looking, the instruments of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God, which God has devised, designed for his gracious ends, and he wants to frustrate it by death. Look at Genesis chapter 4, Abel, the second illustration. How did the serpent deal with him? Knock him off. The case of Joseph, Genesis chapter 37, you have to meet the dead end, right? There you see the enemy operating in stealth to put the purpose of God to naught. Brings to the place of death. What about 2 Chronicles chapter 22, Athaliah, right? What can you do? What are the six countries that, whatever the martial arts, what can you devise? Come on, with all your energy, exhaust your energy. What is the best blow that you can give to the plan of God? Death. Athaliah started killing all the seeds of Judah. And then you have the fourth example, Matthew chapter 2, Herod. Put the babies to death. Wow, silly Satan, right? That's the best plan that you could have, right? Put the plan of God, frustrate the plan of God by death. And then you have Matthew 27, the cross of Christ. And there are six different sayings at the cross of Christ. And Jesus Christ was put to death. In all these cases, you see the enemy, he seeks death as the way. Death as the main plan, the only plan to interrupt the divine course of action on the earth. The most exhaustive, energetic shot that the devil could ever devise, execute on the plan of God is to bring death on the purposes of God. All the male children must be thrown in the river Nile. But the most beautiful point is this. When the enemy devises and plans, executes death on the purposes of God, he is exhausted. That's it. Because he has used all his energy. He has used all his energy. There is no energy left in him. And he says, wow, it's over. Our God is God of resurrection, right? When the enemy collapses, being exhausted, that is the point where God begins to operate, right? Silly Satan, you don't have any other plan apart from this. All the energy that you have, all the strength that you have, you bring to the point of death and get exhausted. There comes God, the God of resurrection. Here I am, I'm going to begin now. Wait, watch, see. The same man is going to give you another blow. So any action, any divine course of action that God devises, executes, is in the resurrection ground. It is not limited by death. Right? Seemingly you have brought to the dead end, God says, three dots. To be continued. Wait, watch, see. Right? I am the God of resurrection. All your energy is exhausted, right? He is like, no, like this. Come. I'm going to work. Blessed be God, right? Our God is the God of resurrection. Romans 8:11 is the promise to us. It is the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is in us. That can quicken our mortal bodies. The God of resurrection. The entire sphere of divine action connected to every single point of redemption lies beyond the limit of death. That's it. As Michael said, come after the resurrection. See you. The movie is not over. Right? You thought that it is over. The place of death is Nile. I have another plan. I'm going to use some other. I'm going to bring a baby. I'm going to give you a blow. The baby name is Moses. Wait, watch, see. I'm going to begin with that river Nile. I'm going to plan another plan. As you are exhausted, I'm going to use the place of death just to show you that I am the God of resurrection. Amen? Right? God always works with resurrection power, and his power is not void of resurrection. His power is not limited by death. Don't get frightened by the dead ends. No, our God is God of resurrection. He is not bound. Anything that he does it beyond death. Beyond death. That's our God. That's so special about our Bible. God wants us to know. He wants you and I to know that we have the seed of resurrection in us. 1 Peter 1:23. We are not born again by the corruptible seed. We are born again by the incorruptible seed. And Apostle Paul cries out loud and he prays and he wants us to know that the surpassing greatness of the power that is working in us. You know what kind of a power is that? He likens that power unto the power with which Christ raised from the grave. Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. He wants us to know that this power that is working in us is according to the power with which Christ raised from the dead. Don't underestimate the Spirit of God lives in you. Don't come to the end, God says, don't come to the end that where the enemy is kind of like collapsed and he thinks that he has frustrated the purpose of God. I can raise a mother, I can make everything ulta. God wants us to know that when enemy exhausted, that is the time that I'm going to operate. Let him get exhausted. Grave is the limit for Satan's activity. But it is the place where divine activity begins. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says that through death, Jesus Christ destroyed the one that had the power over death and delivered us from the fear. That is our God. That's why, you know, we follow this God, the God of resurrection. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 in Exodus. Now a man from the 1 verse 22, we read, right? So chapter 1, verse 22, when you finish it, oh my God, like there is death. There is death, right? Wait for the meal to come. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. That is Jochebed and Amram. I like the Bible, why the name is not given. A man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of, you know why the name is not given? It could be you, right? And God doesn't give your name, right? Give the name, like no, you. If the name is mentioned, then I say it's Jochebed and Amram. No, it has nothing to me, it could be me, right? Can you please tell me it is me? It is, why don't you say it is me in that verse? Can we say? Please say it. Yeah, it's us. A man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. So you read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23, the faith involved in these lives of parents. The faith involved especially in this mother. When she saw the child, he was beautiful. The word beautiful is not with respect to the outward appearance. If you come to Hebrews and you read the word and try to understand the meaning, the child is beautiful because of one reason. It's a gift from the hand of God. Not by color, not by appearance. So the fruit of the womb is the blessing of God. She realized that. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And she put the child into a bush. No. In the house. No. Where does she go? She goes to the place of death. My God tells that I have to come to the place of death. And he will begin from that place of death and work in a resurrection way. So the faith, she could have thrown the child, right? She didn't want to do it. Look at this mother's faith. She makes a beautiful ark, leaves the child, and she comes to the Nile River. This is the place of death. I'm going to leave it there. And then she walks back. That's even more interesting, right? Probably when she was placing the child, I was thinking what was running in her mind. What could she have said? Probably with lots of tears, she could have said, "Oh grave, where is your victory?" Right? Maybe she could have said, "Oh death, where is your sting? I'm going to leave the ark. God, you start working your plan, and she walks back. The scripture does not say that she was like waiting and watching. I like the verse in Matthew chapter 27, verse 61. It says, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they are doing the burial for Jesus Christ. Two men are waiting in front of the grave. Why would you even stand in front of the grave when the burial is going on? Right? Probably these women thought, there is something beyond death. There is something beyond death. It is not dead end. There is something beyond death. There is something beyond death. Because our God is the God of resurrection. Matthew 27, 61, they are just looking at like Christ being buried. And the next chapter begins that, no, they both went. There is something in our mind that tells us that God works out of death. His power is not limited by the boundaries of death because we have the incorruptible seed in us. This tells us, the Word of God tells us, the God who created tells us, the Holy Spirit that regenerated tells us, there is something beyond death. So this mother walks out. You know what she did? She sowed a beautiful seed in her daughter. She goes home. And she is like probably cooking or whatever she is doing. I want to imagine that. But Miriam looks at the mother's action. She is waiting to see what would happen to the ark. Can you imagine something like, you know, you do something, an action that is involved by, with faith, and somebody else's notices, and they are like, waiting to carry on, right? They are looking at what is going to happen. What is God going to do? That is Miriam. Look here in verse 4. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Where is the mother? Probably gone home to make a meal. Believing God, trusting God, right? But she sowed the seed of faith in her daughter. The daughter is looking at him. Jesus Christ in John chapter 11 comes to Martha. Do you believe that your brother will rise again? Right? Martha says, yeah, I know. It's all in my mind. Do you know that I am the resurrection and life right now? Do you know that I am the, whatever the problems may be, right? I am the resurrection and life. This is what God is asking. So the action of Moses' mother is an inducement, is a seed of faith that was sown in Miriam. The sister is waiting and watching, and the daughter of Pharaoh, in verse 5, came down to bathe at Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. God doesn't need a dramatic event to do something in the place of death. He can use a no uncommon incident. Oh yeah, I know that the daughter of Pharaoh goes to take bath at the Nile River every day. But today is not the same thing. In her going, there was God, right? Is it a big thing like Pharaoh's daughter going to take bath? It's a daily event, right? But God was in it. Sometimes God needs the most trivial thing, the smallest thing, which you and I may think that it is a daily course of the chore or whatever the details that I need to do, A, B, C, it is the C. But God says that I can be in that C, the event C. It could be the link which connects my chain and which would result in a grand design of grace. Right? You want to hear another story? Esther chapter 6 verse 1. The king did not get sleep. Probably he is burdened with how to govern the nations or whatever it is. So what's so special? On that day, king did not get sleep. On that day, Pharaoh's daughter went to the Nile River. So he says that, okay, take the chronicles and read, and the attendants read, and it comes to the page where Mordecai saved the king Ahasuerus' life from the two gatekeepers. The king is asking, what was done to Mordecai? Right? You can't just like that remove that event. Hey, king did not get sleep. Hey, king Pharaoh's daughter went to them. God is in that. Smallest, like enemy is like full all mind, this, that, oh, just a sign. God is taking the small pin and then he is working with it. So the attendant who reads the book and he says, nothing was done to Mordecai. And then the king is asking, who is at the doorstep? Haman is waiting, right? With a plan of death, wanting to hang Mordecai right waiting. Ask Haman to come in. And Haman comes and the king is asking, what do you need to do to honor a person whom I want to honor? And he says, take your best robes, horses, chariot, crown, and then your second man, and he has to ride, take this man and ride. And he says, do the same thing to Mordecai. Finished. All your energy is over. All that you can come to is the grave. God begins in the same place. God could have used some other place. He takes the river Nile, right? Pharaoh, the river Nile, where you throw the baby, I'm going to use the same place. I don't have anything else. I will begin at the place of death and show you that I am the God of resurrection. Amen? I do that. It's not coming. Right? He didn't choose anything else. I am going to work with the river Nile. Let the ark, let the basket go. Right? One daily event, that is Pharaoh's coming, Pharaoh's daughter is coming. I'm going to make her meet the basket. I'm going to take the baby out. I'm going to use the baby. The Almighty God needs a small event. That's it. And the faith of the mother who believed that God can do something, went to the place of death, made an ark, took some time, placed the baby instead of throwing the baby, sow the seed in her daughter, right? And look at this, verse 6. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then his sister was waiting to see what's going to happen, right, after death. Runs to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go get a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for you? What do you think that Satan would be doing? Probably, right? Go on, right? And Pharaoh's daughter said, hey, go, please. I need a mother, right? So go ahead. The girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, this child, take this child away. Nurse him for me. I will give you wages. Think of this. The mother getting paid for the nursing her own baby. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. She named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Little did she think that she was being used by God. Little did she think that day when she went to take bath, God was in it. Little did the king think in Esther chapter 6 verse 1, I didn't get sleep because God is in it. He made the chronicles to read. I like this verse. Really, I love this verse. I love it with all my heart. Psalm 76 verse 10. the wrath of man shall praise God. The wrath of man shall praise God. Remarkable providence of God. Devil used Pharaoh through death to frustrate the plan of God. God uses the same Pharaoh's palace to raise Moses. Wow. Pastor Shala said, right? Pastor, who is that? Martin Luther said, devil is God's devil. You think that you're going to like use Pharaoh, do something? I'm going to hire Pharaoh's house. I'm going to put my man in it. Watch. Our God is the God of resurrection. What can Satan do now? Confused. That's it. The marvelous wisdom of God is displayed in this story. No, we have a beautiful God. And anything that he does, anything that he thinks, anything that he plans, anything that he devises, anything that he executes, anything that he has for us is beyond death. There is resurrection in it, right? I think the enemy must have like eaten dust one more time. You use the river Nile, I will also use. Come on, use Pharaoh. I will also use Pharaoh. I will put my man there. Get confused. I am the God of resurrection. Amen.